Today's episode of the Acts 29 Canada podcast is brought to you by Digital Indoorsman, the go-to solution for small business owners looking to establish credibility for their business. By choosing Digital Indoorsman, you're not only elevating your business, but you're also directly contributing to the mission of reaching Canada for Jesus. It's simple, affordable, and impactful. Check out digitalindoorsman.com to find out how you can make a difference for your business and support church planters. Digital Indoorsman. You're out there working hard. Let them handle the digital stuff.
Hey, I want to welcome you to the Acts 29 podcast. My name is Dwight.
And I'm Jordan.
And we are the hosts of this podcast. So welcome.
Glad to have you.
Welcome once again to the Acts 29 Canada podcast. My name is Clay, and I'm with my co-host, Jordan.
Hi, Clay.
Hey, so you might be wondering, why am I on here and Dwight is not? Dwight is a little bit sick today, so he decided to bow out, and you get me kind of in his place. Obviously, I'm not going to bring the same things to the table, but we'll see what happens.
So, Jordan, I think you bring plenty to the table, Clay. I think that you are wonderful, and having you with us this season has been a breath of fresh air. So grateful to you. Sad, obviously, to not have our guy Dwight here with us today, but you know, feeling a little under the weather. Tis the season, you know. So
yeah, we're hoping he's better soon.
Yes, we sure are. We sure
Dwight
are.
And I just did some travel, so usually anytime you get back from traveling, you get sick. It's kind of a normal thing to happen.
We were just talking about that, right? Like your body gets a chance to just rest for a second. You know, you had to ramp up to the travel. You were go, go, go while you were away. And then as soon as you get home and like have a breath, boom, that's when you get hit with it, right?
Yeah.
So you're feeling good though? The sickness hasn't hit you?
I'm feeling good, and that's why I'm trying to keep the stress level just high enough so that I don't get sick, and then we'll see if I can keep this up.
That's good. Well, hey, if you get burnt out, at least you won't be sick, right? So,
exactly.
Oh, that's so good. We got a good episode today. I'm eager to talk about this. Of course, we're going through this church planting focus here in this season, talking all about the practicals of church planting. We hope this season has been practical, helpful for those of you who have been listening. We're grateful for you. I had a great chat with somebody who told me that they've been listening to this season and have found it super insightful and super helpful for them, even as they just consider kind of what their future looks like. And you know, being a part of our church, we're passionate and excited about getting churches planted. We're part of Acts 29 Network and Acts 29 Canada, and eager to see the Lord plant new churches in our country and to have gospel impact reaching new communities. And so, you know, hopefully this has been encouraging. Have you had a chance to chat with anybody on your end, Clay, who has found this encouraging? Putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, no, there's actually been a few people who've said they've been listening to the podcast and they're quite encouraged with what's happening. They like hearing about church planting and why we do what we do. So yeah, it's been good reception so far.
Good. I'm glad. Well, and I'm especially glad for you as you know, you and the church out there considers and is working towards your church plant. How are things going with that?
Yeah, slow but steady. It's one of those things where you can only plan so far before you move. And then you kind of got to wait and see what the Holy Spirit has for you once you've hit the ground. So
sure,
we're still making plans. We're moving forward. But there comes that point where you have to just leave it for a little bit, let it settle. And then see what God has for you.
That's exciting. Well, we'll continue to pray for that and eager to hear how the Spirit works and all of that. And you know, today we're talking a little bit about one of the things that, you know, you guys are probably in the middle of, one of the things that we're working at and starting to consider, starting to put before the Lord in prayer. And that is the function of team leadership in church planting and the functions of what a church planting team might look like. And you know, Clay, you have a unique perspective on all of this. You get the opportunity as the assessment director for Canada to take church planters, their families, and, you know, the sending church and that kind of thing, the church that they're a part of, through the assessment process. And so, you know, we've talked about that a little bit. We've mentioned that being your role on this podcast a few times. But why don't you start this episode by telling us a little bit about kind of what that looks like? What is assessment for those who, you know, are maybe hearing about it for the first time, and how does it play out when you start working toward getting a church plant going?
Yeah, so assessment is kind of like it sounds. You're assessing something, and in this particular instance, we are assessing potential church planters. We also assess churches who want to join into the network, but we're talking specifically today about church planting and team leadership. So what happens is if you feel like you're called to church planting, typically what we want you to do is not just talk to someone right away at Acts 29 or finding a network or a denomination, but the hope is that you're talking to those within your current church context. We want to see people who are excited to be serving in their local church, those who are excited to be connecting with the existing leaders and finding affirmation within that local church that they belong to, that they are indeed called to leadership in general, called to biblical leadership, called to eldership within their local church. And then at that point, if the church is the one who says, yeah, we affirm their leadership, we affirm their eldership, and we think that they would be a good candidate for church planting, that's the point in which maybe the conversations can begin with Acts 29. So a lot of it is going to then at that point move into what we call written assessment, where we're going to hear about your theology. We're going to do some exploration of your character, why you do what you do. How does the gospel inform what you think, how you think, what your plans are for church planting? And then we're going to disseminate all of that. We're going to go through it, study it, and then figure out, is the next stage appropriate for this guy? Is church planting something that it seems like, yeah, his church is behind it. He's excited to get going with that. And then if that's the case, we bring you in and continue to have further conversations and go through the next step of an assessment process, which is a little bit more hands-on, personal. We're going to meet with some people and we're going to dig in and evaluate once again, mostly your character, who you are, how you understand the gospel, what's your theology? Is it in line with Acts 29 as a network and our theological distinctives and our values? And do we see that you could be a good candidate for church planting? And then at that point, we're going to figure out what that's supposed to look like for you, how that works. And as church planters and existing pastors of Acts 29 churches, there will be a few people who then speak into your life and help you evaluate and discover, is this what God is calling you to do? Not just affirming you 100% no matter what you want to do, but really helping you discover, what is God's plan? What is the church doing that's sending you in terms of how they're going to help you out? And now how can we as brothers in Christ encourage you towards, or potentially maybe encourage you away from church planting if we see that there potentially are some issues, mostly character issues, that would prevent you from being a good church planter, or maybe that there's more time needed to flesh those things out.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I love even what you said off the top there, you mentioned at the end, the idea of church planting be something that you're not just called to, but you're sent to, right? We talked about that a little bit in the last episode when, considering the small A apostolic gifting and as a church, we're going through Acts. We're in the middle of Acts chapter 13. You see that right at the beginning of the chapter of Acts chapter 13, as Barnabas and Paul are sent off to go. And so why would assessment be valuable, Clay, for church planters? And then talk about how the assessment process is an essential or a helpful tool for church planters as they consider the church planting team and the team itself, the individuals that would go with the church planter and be kind of also be called to be sent in that way.
Yeah. So I'd say assessment is invaluable in that you're getting people to come alongside you and give you that extra bit of evaluation that, especially for those who aspire to church planting, there's probably something in them that is a little bit on the, I don't know how to say this, arrogant side. Not always,
sure.
But it seems to be a typical trait. It's the kind of guy that goes, I can do it. I've got this covered and let's do this. And they're, the apostolic visionary, but they sometimes need that second voice, third voice, fourth voice to look in and take a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, and check, how can we now help you refine your character? How can we help you discover who God's made you to be? And then how can we equip you to continually get to know Jesus better, understand the mission that he's calling you to? And then even as we're talking about this team leadership, what might that look like to find people that you can put around yourself so that now you can be part of an effective church plant? Because the church planter himself, at the end of the day, is not the church plant. The church plant is the collection of people that God brings together to be the church. Now, obviously, when you're starting, if it's just one guy with an idea, it's got to start somewhere. But you're not a church until God actually brings the rest of the people that he's called to be a part of that mission to actually be the church together. So in understanding your weaknesses, your, I don't want to say flaws, because God's made us in these different ways so that we do complement each other, But the areas that we're not as strong in, as we get those things revealed to us, as we actually start to understand, you know what, I don't possess the perfection of Jesus. And as we think through that, at that point, we can go, okay, maybe if I'm lacking in some of the abilities that we're probably going to talk about in a little bit, then how do I find those people to help me along the path? And then keeping your eyes open, and maybe even this is where other pastors and church planters who you know might go, hey, you know what? I got just the guy. There's a guy on our team that maybe we could send your way and then have those kinds of discussions. So in assessment, you're helping others discover who God's made you to be, and then also point out potential blind spots so that you can continue to grow into who God wants you to be, and also surround yourself with the people that he is going to build his church with.
Yeah. And I think that that's an invaluable part of the whole thing too, right? Because it's when we go it alone, you know, we joked about burning out at the beginning of this, right? But when you go it alone and try to shoulder the load entirely on yourself, honestly, in all kinds of contexts, but especially when we talk about church planting, we talk about church ministry, I mean, it opens you up to all kinds of pitfalls, personally, corporately, that can lead to the downfall of your own personal leadership, of the church plant, because you're trying to shoulder the load all on your own. There's only one person that has ever existed that could have taken the entirety of the burden of getting the church started, of getting kingdom ministry going, and that's just Jesus Christ, right? That's the Son of God who came and took on human flesh and dwelt among us. And even Jesus had a team that he worked with, right? As his ministry was getting started, what did he do first? He recruited other people. He recruited 12 to be the primary group that he poured into to continue the mission that he, you know, initially gave the Great Commission to, that he, you know, sent out from there. And you know, there's examples of even throughout the ministry that Jesus had of him sending them out in pairs to go out and to perform the ministries that he had called them to and to proclaim the gospel and the good news of who he is and what he came to be and to do and to show us. And so, and then, you know, that of course is extended out as you see the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, you know, him sending out teams. And that's one of the important things as we talk about this. That's why I wanted to start with talking about assessment, because I think that the assessment process is invaluable. And, you know, that's not unique, of course, to Acts 29, but from the little glimpse that I've seen into how assessment works, into talking with you and hearing about your heart and seeing all those kinds of things, it's something that is just so necessary, because if we don't know as the one that we has been called, or, you know, as the assessment goes through and finds out is not called, but if we who have been called to church plant aren't able to clearly see our blind spots, right? Our deficiencies in leadership and in calling and gifting, and aren't intentionally surrounding ourselves with people that can help us in those areas and that we can kind of partner with to be able to offer ministry that is founded on the gospel, that is centered on Jesus Christ. He is the why behind what we're doing, and then is effective in the ministry, then, you know, it's doomed to fail from the start.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I love so much about, we're going through a number of resources in this season, but one of the things that I appreciated about specifically Peyton Jones in his book, Church Plantology, he went through a number of lists, a number of reasons why church planters quit. And, you know, I don't know if this is necessarily a comprehensive list. I don't think that he would admit that it is. But one of the things that when church planters go it alone, that they're faced with is a number of pressures that can bring them down. And those pressures are, you know, being overworked, right? Of feeling like they need to know everything. They need to do everything. They need to, you know, wisely handle everything. You know, they're the ones that are at every single meeting. They're there beforehand setting up. They're there afterwards tearing down. They're meeting with people. They're doing all of this kind of stuff, and bearing the burden, the primary burden of all of that it's just too great, right? Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's the bivocational pressure. And, you know, I've mentioned on this podcast before, that's a relatively new idea to me, but, you know, not to you, obviously. You're in the midst of it. How do bivocational pressures threaten to sink a church planter if he's going out on his own?
Yeah, bivocational pastoring is definitely not easy. There's a reason that most church planters would ideally not be bivocational, and that's because church planting can take a very large toll on you personally, on your family, and relationally. But at the same time, bivocational planting does offer a lot of benefits as well,
sure,
in that it gives you opportunities to connect with people in your community in ways that you can't if you're sitting behind a desk all day. Now, hopefully, if you're church planting, even if you are fully funded, hopefully you're not just sitting behind a desk preparing sermons, but you're in the community, you're engaging, you're finding ways to be with people, to tell people about the gospel. I know maybe that's just sounding like you're doing the work of the evangelist, which part of what it means to be a church planter is, sure, doing the work of the evangelist, whether that's your main gifting or not. Mm. But that bivocational aspect, man, it, so much of it has to come down to what is the career that you're doing with that bivocational church plant? Because some careers are just not suited well for bivocational planting. Mm. Like if you're having to work a 9-to-5 job where you are stuck behind a desk and you don't get breaks, you can't take phone calls. Like if you're working at a call center, that's probably not the ideal because you're not going to actually be able to communicate with people, tell them about the church plant you have your scripture reading from. Many jobs probably feel like you're doing that kind of thing. It's like, all I get to do is read from my script, do my job, and then go home. And then at the end of the day, I'm dead tired. When am I supposed to have time to plant a church? And so then there's aspects where if you're in that wrong career and you're trying to bivocationally plant, that's when you don't just end up burning out yourself, but you burn out your family. Because then the time that you are taking in order to plant the church, it typically then is going to come either from the time you would spend with your wife or with your kids, or even the relationships you have that build your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding the right career path, the right way that you can make a living so that you can provide for your church plant, I think bivocationally, that is the real deep question you have to figure out. What's God called you to? What gifts has he given you? What opportunities do you have? And does that fit with church planting? For some guys, it's like fundraising is going to be the way to go. For other guys, they might have a career style and gifting that says, you know what? I can make a ton of money working 5 hours a week and devote the other 50, 60 hours a week to church planting while I still take care of my family. And everybody wins, but not everybody has those opportunities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say, and if you know about them, please let me know because that sounds amazing. But
no, exactly.
But that, it does produce a unique pressure. And again, when it's just you and you haven't surrounded yourself with people in the church plant, part of your core team, part of your strike team, part of, you know, whatever you want to call it, that are able to, you're able to work alongside to share the burden of, then you're exactly right. Like, you know, working a 9-to-5 and then, you know, putting in all the effort and the hours needed to start a church in the, you know, evening time, that, you know, that's a pressure that you're ultimately just going to crumble under. You might be able to do it for a time, but that's going to be one of the reasons why, right? And again, a team that is intentionally crafted, that is prayerfully considered, will be one of the remedies to that. Mm-hmm. And then you alluded to some of the other pressures that Jones mentions. There's obviously some heavy stress that comes into all of this. There's a lot of burdens that are difficult to carry. Obviously, the family pressure is massive. And so, you know, if you're sacrificing your family on the altar of your church plant, then it's easy for that to be a reason why, you know, eventually your plant fails, why the church isn't able to get off the ground, why the planter fails. And insufficient finances, of course, a massive pressure. And when, if you don't see any growth, right, if the church is shrinking, then that's going to be, that's a burden that's too difficult for an individual to carry on your own. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, those are pressures that are ultimately alleviated when there are more people to share the burden, when there are teams, when there are leaders who, you know, may not even necessarily be getting a paycheck, right? But are, mm-hmm, are people that are passionate and committed to the vision of ultimately the gospel going forth and the kingdom of God coming down, but are able to come alongside the church planter and to help work through those things.
Yeah, and when you think about the fact that when you're called to church planting, it's, again, it's church planting. It's, mm-hmm, not, you're not starting a speaking ministry. You're,
that's
not right, starting just people gathering around you. The goal is to be planting a church, this group of people devoted to Jesus, recognizing his glory, his honor, and, mm-hmm, you're calling people to follow Jesus. And yes, follow you as you follow Jesus, just like Paul said, but you're building this group of people to follow Jesus. So the burden can't just be on you because you're not the goal. And in that same way, you don't have to expect yourself to know everything. You don't have to expect yourself to do everything. And that's why bringing around you a group of people that can truly help, for one, shoulder that burden, but also remind you that you don't have to do everything, that it's not all up to you. Jesus is the one who said he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He didn't say, Jordan, you're going to build my church and the gates will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. He didn't say, Clay, you're going to build my church. No, Jesus says he will build his church. Yeah, he calls us to follow him. He calls us to do crazy things, to lay down our lives, to suffer, to joyfully submit ourselves. But all of that is knowing that he's the one who's building his church, and he did not call us to do it alone.
Yeah, and shout out to Steve Robinson, who's part of our Acts 29 network over in the UK. He wrote a phenomenal book called Serve, Loving Your Church with Your Heart, Time, and Gifts. One of the things that he talks about initially in the book is talking about the why, right? And that's what, you know, what you're talking about is ultimately the why behind everything that we do, but it has to be the why behind church planting as well. And that why is Jesus Christ, right? It is the reality of what he has done in each of us. He has saved me and delivered me and fixed my biggest problem, which is my own sinfulness and your own sinfulness. And so when that why is clear and is answered, and we have people that can surround us and continue to remind us about those things, and you know, Jesus being the ultimate why, but then recognizing that when we serve, which is what we are called to do, we're called to emulate Christ, who came, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so, you know, because planting a church and planting with a team of people around us, and when the church planter has that heart of coming to serve the team, and the team comes with the heart of serving one another and the church planter, and we're trying to do that, and we have that sort of mindset coming to serve one another and to serve the church and to serve the world that we're called to be salt and light in, then ultimately, when you're planting with a team and when you're doing that kind of thing, you're ultimately reflecting the person and character of our triune God, right? Exactly. And the reality of perfect relationship that exists between Father, Son, and Spirit, and a perfect heartbeat and distinct but one in character, in essence, and in purpose, and in will. And so what better calling is there for us than to reflect the person and nature of our God that we love and serve? And anything you want to add to that before we move into the next thing?
Yeah, no, I love the fact that Jesus intentionally didn't do it by himself, and he chose at the very beginning the 12 apostles to be alongside him. And I mean, these guys were anything but perfect, right? Like, I don't think any of us would pick the church planting team that he did. And he picked them and he loved them. That's the beauty. He loved them. And he decided that I'm going to make this crazy bunch of guys who wouldn't dare to step foot into the same place together. I'm going to put them together. I'm going to build a team that is unstoppable with these guys. And they're actually going to love each other. Not just that they're going to put up with each other, not just that they're going to grin and bear it, grit their teeth, but that they will love each other as a picture of the unity and the love that God has in himself as Trinity. And I love that Jesus, when he sent them out, he sent them two by two. He didn't send them alone, but he sent them as teams. He sent them in relationship. And even as we think about finding and planning church planting teams, again, we want to think through that God is perfect relationship in and of himself, right? Father, Son, and Spirit, they have the absolute perfect relationship. And as we plant churches, as we establish teams who plant churches, our goal is not just to get a task done. It's not just to build a strong team with the right qualifications, but we want to strive for this unity in relationship where we are fed by the Spirit of God. We love each other. We're willing to give our lives for each other. And then in so doing, as we call people to follow us, we're calling people into something that is already a beautiful picture of the gospel at work. So as we plant, as we go forward, as we reach the people that God's calling us to reach, we're calling them to join in relationship, not just this task of doing work, which again is why team planting, I think, ultimately does reflect the triune character and nature of God.
Yeah, as I read the Gospels and consider that, I love what you said in terms of the team that Jesus picked not being perfect. And it just brought to mind, man, do you remember that? Remember that the story? I can't remember the passage right now. It's bad. When James and John asked to have seats at the right and left hand of Jesus.
Yep.
And all the other disciples are angry. They're not angry because James and John asked the question. They're angry that they didn't ask the question because they wanted the same thing, right? And so it's wonderful when you think about that and you see the imperfect nature of the disciples. Yeah, and the fact that we're not perfect, right? But there's grace and love for one another in the way that Jesus shows grace and love to them. Mm-hmm. And what a refreshing thing as we consider the momentous and the important and the awesome work of church planting. To recognize that it's not ultimately on us. And that's freeing for us as when we consider that, when we consider teams and I'm going to draw from personal experience here as well. Like I said, we're in the process of Lord willing, having a church plant get out of our church in the next year or so. We've brought somebody on our team that's working actively at that. We're super excited. I had a great conversation with two young guys that are a part of our church who had both just felt the calling to go and be a part of this church plant. And they're great leaders. You know, they're on my team. I love them dearly. I am so blessed by them. They bring incredible effort and energy and gifting to the leadership team that we have here at our church. And so sending them out to go and be a part of this new thing is going to cost us something, and it should. Mm-hmm. And there is a part of that that's a little bit sad, right? I'm not going to be able to see them week in and week out, and we're going to live a little further apart. But are we willing to sacrifice those things to be able to send our best and to say, yeah, go and go in the calling of the Lord as we have sought to discern through much prayer and to see him and to affirm in them and to bring alongside our church planter that the Lord has brought to us, people that are going to be sold out for mission, that are going to be committed to this. Mm-hmm. So Clay, let's spend a few minutes, and you know, hopefully all that we've talked about has been encouraging to people to consider whether or not they would be a part of a church planting team or maybe come and be a part of an assessment here at Acts 29. But let's double down on that a little bit and consider what are some of the benefits of planting as a team, right? What are some of the benefits of having people around a church planter to get after this together?
Yeah, I know we mentioned it already, but when you have that team, there's a strength. There's that unity. You're bringing people into an existing relationship. But then that also means when you do launch, whatever that looks like for you, it's just going to be stronger because it's not just, you know, you and your wife and your X amount of kids just hoping somebody's going to come. But you're bringing people into something that's already happening. Mm-hmm. And so you have that stronger launch. What else have you noticed when we look through this chapter?
Oh, I love the fact that it broadens your opportunity for discipleship, right? Because the onus isn't on one person to disciple all of these people. But when you are able to replicate and you're able to produce more disciples that make more disciples, it scales. Mm-hmm. And just think about the incredible opportunity that presents itself when you've got five or six people that are able to disciple just one person that's then able to disciple just one more person. I mean, the opportunity for growth is incredible. And that sets us up best for being able to do what it is that we're ultimately called to do, which is bring more people to Jesus, right? Faith in him, to understanding of who he is and what he's done, and to fulfill the Great Commission in the spirit of the Great Commandment.
Yeah, and even when you think on a practical level, like once you launch a church service, there's going to be preaching. And if you're the only guy and you're doing all that work, not every guy can preach 52 sermons a year. So
that's
having
right.
multiple leaders gives that opportunity to actually take a break every once in a while.
Yeah, not just preaching 52 times a year, but then also leading the small group and also doing men's ministry and women's ministry and then, you know, going out on a Thursday night to go door to door to invite people to the church, right? Like you just... we have finite energy and time and gifting. And so, man, let's share the load.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it also is, it allows different leaders to use their gifts in different ways. And so it's not just a church based around one set of giftings. And so
that's
then
right.
As you have more leaders and more people involved, you're allowing the Spirit of God to be at work in using the different giftings that God's given to train up the church for the work of the ministry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's one of the verses that's just so critical for that is Ephesians 4, right? And just the reality that, you know, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? For, ultimately, the building up of the body of Christ. That's verses 11 and 12. And so, you know, you've got people that have different gifts, right? And you know, I don't know about you, Clay. Like, so when you read that list, what would you say that your gifts are out of those five?
Man, it's funny because I look at that list and almost every time I look at it, I feel like I have a different emphasis on what I'm good at. And sure. There's days where I feel like, oh, I'm super strong in my teaching. I should just focus all my time on preaching. And then there's other weeks where I'm just like, I should just let someone else teach and I should never teach again because that is the worst thing that I've ever done. And then there's times, you know, you get like, oh man, I got this crazy idea, feel really motivated and excited and I want to cast vision. So I feel like, okay, maybe apostleship is one of my gifts or maybe the prophetic. It's like, which one is it? I don't know. So there's days I feel strong, days I feel weak. I do know that even though I'm church planting, I've done this a few times, evangelism is probably at the bottom of my list of things I'm good at or naturally capable with.
Mine too, for sure.
So bringing someone who's an evangelist along with me on a team would actually be extremely advantageous going forward.
Yeah.
And finding more people with those giftings to help out. But that doesn't mean, so if you're listening, you're like, hey, that's me too. I'm not good at evangelism. We have to remember what Paul says to Timothy, right? Do the work of an evangelist.
That's right.
We're not all gifted with it. We still have to do the work of it. We still get to go out of our comfort zone, talk to people we wouldn't think we want to talk to. I mean, there's times where I've just felt God leading me, like, you're supposed to talk to that guy. I don't know why. Like, I don't want to talk to that guy because I hate talking to people. I'm not sure something about hate talking to people, but yeah, I feel these promptings sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go talk, strike up a conversation. And it still hasn't come to that, oh, this person was praying and it just happened that they were asking God if you could send something. Like that's never happened to me yet. I'm, you know, maybe it will. But what Jesus, I think, is teaching me even in those situations is trust me. Can you trust me? And so I think even if we don't have the gift of evangelism, he's constantly giving us opportunities to train us to do the work of an evangelist, to realize that, you know what, this isn't about me. It's not about how I look to others. It's not about what God may or may not do through me. It's about his glory and me being obedient to the call of just following him. And, you know, as we do that, as we admit our weaknesses, then it's going to invite others who are gifted in those areas to come alongside saying, hey, you know what? Why don't I help you with that? Because I think being a strong leader is one who actually knows how to admit that they're not perfect, that they're not capable of everything. I know in church plants, what often happens, and this is actually really good, is that you don't do everything well right away. So when you gather on a Sunday and things are a little bit haywire, a little bit Mickey Mouse, people go, oh, I can help with this. But if you go in and everything is just perfectly polished right away, it's like you've got the band who they could have been touring the country and you've got the lasers, the lights, and everything is just absolutely perfect. And then you come out with preaching that's just like, wow, I wish this could have been on like the largest stage and you wouldn't believe how good this guy is at preaching. If that's what people come to and you're just starting out, people are going to feel like, I don't really have anything to contribute. I don't know where I fit in here. But when you come in and you admit your weakness and you say, we're all going to do our best. We're not going to intentionally do anything poorly. We're going to do our best, but just admitting, you know what, this is not my strength and I'm going to do my best in this. But if someone wants to do this, please come help. And giving the other people that are part of that church plant an opportunity to step up and say, yeah, I want to join you in this. I want to use my gifts. That gives the opportunity for the Spirit of God to actually work in and through these different people. And maybe even cultivating people who have small gifts and so they can grow those, and not always just allowing you as the pastor, the planter, to go in guns blazing saying, well, I know how to do everything 80-90%, so I'm going to do 100% of it. It's like, well, maybe take a few things off your list and give an opportunity to someone else. Even if they can only do it 60% as well as you can, give them that opportunity to grow in that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the other awesome benefits of planting as a team, is that it limits the opportunity for competition and for building your own empire, right? Because you recognize that you can't do everything all on your own. And then, you know, that also comes from the idea of being called and sent, right? You're called to church planting, but you're talking with another church that's willing to affirm that in you and to send you out and to, you know, put the weight of support behind you, both in word and in deed, right? To not just pay lip service, but to put some skin in the game and to say, yeah, like we're gonna send some people, or yeah, we're gonna send some finances to help you out with that, or you know, whatever the case may be. That brings the opportunity again for, you know, we don't have the corner on the market of what God is doing in building His kingdom. With, you know, each individual church plant, you are not God's gift to the world. I mean, you are in a sense, but that's more of the universal idea, right?
Yeah.
In that it's a local expression of God's gift to the world, which is the church founded on the gospel. So
the other thing too is that it allows you to continually multiply.
Yes.
And I know we've used this phrase before, planting pregnant. But if you plant as a team where you've got multiple guys who can share in the preaching, who can share in the different leadership areas, then, for example, if those have strong shepherding and teaching abilities, they might want to stay back, and those with more apostolic or prophetic or evangelistic abilities are on that team. They might say, hey, guess what? We're going to go start something new, but you guys, the shepherds and the teachers, you've got this. Yeah, you can bring other prophetic evangelists and apostles around you, but even if it takes a while to get those team members back on board at the sending church, you can go out at least and start something new fairly quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what does that do, right? Like as you're doing that, and as rapid multiplication continues to grow, you're building network, right? And that's one of the things that we're so excited about with Acts 29 Canada, with what we're seeing God do here, is that as churches are planted, you know, as Grace out in Saskatchewan plants more churches, then you're naturally building a network that way. And we're naturally getting momentum going in supporting one another, in loving one another, in sharing resources, in you know, helping each other do different things. One of the things that I love so much that I'm seeing in Acts 29 Canada is the opportunity for people to from different churches to go to other churches and to be able to support them in things like conferences, right? In things like events that they're doing. And, you know, I had a great call with one of the pastors of a church out east, who's hoping to do something that, you know, for families. Well, you know, we hosted a conference for families a couple months ago. Here's what we did that was really good. Here's what we did that was really bad that you can help build on. And here's where we failed. Here's what we'll do differently next time. Well, that's just building up the opportunity for more discipleship and for more opportunities and for more, you know, cohesion and this idea that ultimately we are a team together, right? Harvest Bible Chapel in Barrie is a team together with Grace out in Saskatchewan and in Edmonton and you know, with PAX out east and with Church 21 in Montreal and in all of, and you know, in our churches up in Whitehorse and what's going on there. So that's one of the awesome things about doing this together, right? Is we're not about silos here, right? We're building a team that's able to go and to support one another, right? Because that's what we need as well. You know, I love having the chance to connect with you every so often and to be, you know, hear how I can best be praying for you and what's going on out in Edmonton and with Dwight and with all these guys that are able to support one another. And ultimately, if things go downhill, you've got people that you're able to lean on, because not only do you have your church planting team, but then you've got your network team that is also together. And that's one of the strengths of Acts 29, I think, globally, is the fact that we're in all of this together. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I really appreciate this chapter. It's been definitely good to think through the team leadership stuff. I know Peyton talks about the different kinds of giftings that we see in Ephesians 4, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. I mean, we should probably do another podcast
I think
outlining
so.
All of those elements.
Yeah.
But I do love that he says there's five elements. And if you look at your hand, each of those fingers could be like one of those elements. Mm. But I love what he says, that individually, each of those is kind of useless.
Sure.
But when you put them all together, it ends up being like a combative weapon.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the ways God uses to actually strengthen his church to storm the gates of hell, to do the work, so that he is the one doing it. And he's using that fivefold ministry in order to plant churches that come from teams with these complementary giftings. So we could spend another whole episode on understanding what happens when you put the five fingers together, but we'll deal with that another time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just kind of extrapolating that out and looking at my hand right now and thinking there's one finger that you really don't want to be, right? Maybe not. I don't know. You get what I'm saying?
One finger you really want to be.
Yes. That's exactly. Anyways, that we'll save that all for another episode. But Clay, thanks for the time, man. Thanks for the discussion. I'm abundantly grateful for you, and hopefully this was just another tool in the tool belt of people who are excited about getting churches planted and seeing the way that the gospel grows. And so let's pray about this and let's commit to this. And I'd encourage anybody listening to spend some time praying about the Lord discerning your gifts and where He might be maybe using you, whether it's, you know, calling to church plant and to be a church planter, or whether that's, you know, the Lord calling you to upset the status quo and comfortability of your life right now and to say, okay, where could I be used? Because ultimately, what is the goal of all of our lives as followers of Jesus? It is to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach them all that Christ has given to us and has called us. And we do so with a great promise that He is the one who is with us, even to the end of the age. So we hope this time together has encouraged and blessed you and challenged you. Yeah, if it has, you know, feel free to drop us a line. Let us know. Shoot us an email. You can send that email to Dwight. I don't know what his email is, but I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Acts29Canada.ca. Is that our URL? I don't know. I should probably know this.
The website is Acts29Canada.com. You can also go to Acts29.com. And you can find information about us there as well.
That'd be great. Clay, thanks for joining us on this episode. Dwight, if you're listening, we hope you're back soon. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode of the Acts 29 Canada podcast is brought to you by Digital Endorsement, the go-to solution for small business owners looking to establish credibility for their business. Are you or someone in your church community running a small business? Struggling to create a website that truly represents who you are? Digital Endorsement is here to help. With expertly crafted websites starting at just $249 a month, they provide an affordable and effective way to reach a wider audience. But here's the best part. Digital Endorsement is more than just a web agency. They are dedicated to a greater cause. 100% of their profits go towards supporting church planting and church planters. By choosing Digital Endorsement, you're not only elevating your business, but you're also directly contributing to the mission of reaching Canada for Jesus. It's simple, affordable, and impactful. Check out digitalendorsement.com to find out how you can make a difference for your business and support church planters. Digital Endorsement. You're out there working hard. Let them handle the digital stuff.